You're listening to Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the Beacon Centre. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented impact of coronavirus, Talking News will not be distributed on CD until further notice. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers and listeners is our main priority. Therefore, we are sorry to inform you that we have taken the difficult decision not to distribute CDs to our loyal listeners until safe to do so. We're sorry for any inconvenience caused. We're pleased to inform you that the Talking News service is continuing, but as a digital online podcast. This will be available via our social media pages and website each week. Please note we cannot report on any community or sporting events due to the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you. We hope you enjoy this week's edition of Black Country Talking News. Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Black Country Talking News for the 8th of April 2020, with me, Simon, Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen and Steve. This week we will have a roundup of local news, a short quiz, sight loss news where we have a look at cataracts, a talking book review, our flashback section where we look at events from this week in history, the weather for the Easter break and for next week, and our and finally section where we will reveal the answers to this week's quiz. But first, here's an update from Beacon with Helen.
It's been a busy week here at Beacon as we continue to try and support as many people as possible. It's a worrying time for us as well, but we want you to know that we're still here and able to offer support if you need it. Over the past fortnight, the Beacon team has made almost 500 welfare calls on the telephone to members to check how they are and if there's anything they need. We've also seen a huge surge in demand for services, for people wanting to sign up to our telephone befriending service, for example. We've had more than 200 people inquire in recent weeks alone. Our employment team has also been hard at work helping assist people with issues like language barriers when trying to contact official agencies and even arranging food bank deliveries for those unable to get out. We know that things such as getting food is a problem, but we'd also like to know about any other issues that may be affecting you at the moment. Please get in touch if there's something you want to highlight. All this work we've been doing is only possible thanks to the support of people like you. Sadly, as we told you last week, we're now losing in the region of £25,000 a week, and the donations we are receiving are making a massive difference. We'd like to thank everyone who's donated so far, and if you haven't and are able, please give if you can. To donate £5, text Beacon Crisis, that's all one word and in capital letters, at Beacon Crisis, BEACONCRISIS, to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message. It really will help us help people like you. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Thanks, Helen. Now let's have a roundup of local news with Christine, but first, here's Ian.
Here is the news for Wolverhampton. A multi-million pound plan to transform a Wolverhampton Wetherspoons pub into a museum for the company has been approved. Wolverhampton Council planners granted permission for the £7 million revamp of the Moon Underwater in Lichfield Street into its National Heritage Centre. The refurbishment will also see the upper floors of the building converted into the museum and a hotel, but with additional floor being created to provide an extra 22 rooms. It is anticipated that around 50 new jobs will be generated as a result of the development. The building sits opposite the Grand Theatre, which has had plans approved to expand into the former post office next door to develop a pop-up theatre, while Wolverhampton Council is proposing to pedestrianise part of Lichfield Street.
A deal to transform the former Wolverhampton Eye Infirmary into new homes has been signed in a major step forward for the project. Plans will soon officially be lodged with the City Council, and it is hoped the project will quickly get formal approval. Officials in the city have been desperate to see the site renovated due to its prime location in Compton Road on the way into the city centre. The development will be residential, though the number of apartments has not been confirmed. It will also feature supported living for older people. Property developers GR8 Space and Adlington will lead the project after striking a deal with the site's owners, BZ Property Holdings. It is hoped the coronavirus crisis will not further delay the scheme, particularly as any major work is likely to be around 6 months away. The 1880s clock tower block will be retained with some of the old A&E nursing blocks taken down. The former eye infirmary has fallen into ruins and become one of the city's biggest eyesores over recent years. A long-running court battle between the council and the city's NHS Trust came to an end earlier this year, allowing owners BZ Property Holdings to progress with their plans.
Two councillors have been appointed to Wolverhampton Council's cabinet as a part of the city's response to coronavirus. Councillor Jacqueline Sweetman will head up housing in the city, with Councillor Steve Simpkins in charge of governance. Councillor Sweetman, who has represented the Graysley ward for 10 years, will be the cabinet member for city assets and housing. She takes over from Pete Bilson, a giant of local politics, who passed away last month after a period of illness. Councillor Simpkins, who represents Bilston East, will now be the cabinet member for governance, having previously served as a shadow cabinet and then cabinet member for leisure between 2008 and 2010. He takes over from Councillor Sandra Samuels OBE, who stepped down from her front bench role last year.
Shoppers and retailers across Wolverhampton have been urged to adhere to social distancing rules during the coronavirus pandemic. People should stay 2 metres or 6 feet away from other people to prevent the spread of the virus. Now, shops in the city have been encouraged to place limits on how many people can enter and ask customers to stand apart. A poster has been drawn up by Wolverhampton Council, which retailers can print off and use in their stores to showcase the rules. Customers have been encouraged to pay using contactless methods to reduce the amount of cash being handled by staff. People are permitted to leave the house to shop for essential supplies such as food and medicine, or for their daily walk. Shoppers have been asked to be patient and cooperate with the measures.
More than £3 million will be used to help the most vulnerable across Wolverhampton pay their council tax, despite an almost 4% increase. Wolverhampton Council will spend £3.3 million of government cash to help reduce bills for those in need by up to £150 due to coronavirus. It comes as council tax has risen across the city this week by 3.99%, including 2% for social care, after proposals were signed off last month. The funding applies to people already in receipt of council tax support, with councils taking into account circumstances, income and savings. New bills will be issued to those residents who qualify to confirm when a reduction has been applied. Council chiefs say they are working as quickly as possible to ensure everyone in need receives the support. Wolverhampton Council has thanked Marsdens and Wolves for going above and beyond to help set up an emergency food distribution hub at Aldersley Leisure Village. Hundreds of redeployed council workers, as well as support from Marsdens and Wolves, has enabled Wolverhampton to be one of the first places in the country to be able to get supplies to people who are isolating at home. The council approached Marsdens for advice on logistics when setting up the hub, and the company provided motorised pallet trucks as well as thousands of toilet rolls which would normally have been used in Marsden's pubs to be included in the parcels. Meanwhile, Wolves allowed the council to use its dome building, which is located next to the leisure village and is now providing essential space for staff training. Councillor Ian Brookfield, leader of Wolverhampton Council, said, "I am bowled over by the support from Marsdens and Wolves, two of our biggest and best local partners. The council could quite simply not have got this hub operational as quickly as we have without their support, which has gone over and above. These are two companies which are part and parcel of the fabric of our city, and when the call came to help, they stepped up to the mark."
A youngster from Wolverhampton has been praised by Andrew Lloyd Webber for his singing skills. Ethan Ball, aged 6, from Purton, has a love of musical theatre and performing and is an infant musical theatre student at the Georgina Keys Dance Academy. His mum Rachel sent a video of him singing Any Dream Will Do after the composer challenged people to send him their rendition on his Facebook page. Out of thousands of videos, Ethan's was one of the ones chosen, and in a video reply, Andrew Lloyd Webber said, "You're fantastic, Ethan. You're going to be a Joseph one of these days. Maybe not quite yet, but I expect at your school you will be a great Joseph, so keep at it." Ethan was very upset that due to coronavirus, his upcoming performance of One Night Only was cancelled. Mum Rachel added, "We can't thank Andrew Lloyd Webber enough for making Ethan and our family smile." Here is the news for Sandwell. Parking charges have been suspended on council car parks amid the coronavirus outbreak. Sandwell Council has taken the measure to support people, including key workers who are making essential journeys. But council bosses have urged people not to use this opportunity for unnecessary shopping trips. During the lockdown, people are only allowed to leave their home for essential shopping, such as getting food or medicine, one form of exercise, any medical need, or for travelling to work where it is essential. Anyone found breaching this can be fined an initial £60 by police. All other parking conditions, including charges for on-street parking bays, will still apply. The free parking will be in place until June 30th. For more information, visit www.sandwell.gov.uk/parking.
And here is the news from Sandwell. The Mayor of Sandwell is returning to medicine after answering the government's call to return to the NHS to help out during the COVID-19 outbreak, but is insisting she's no hero. The Mayor of Sandwell, Dr. Anne Jarron, has joined 20,000 former NHS workers who have volunteered to return to the health frontline during the current emergency, having only retired in August last year. The councillor for the Abbey Ward said she will go wherever she is sent, which could include the temporary 500-bed hospital, which is to be built at the National Exhibition Centre. A former GP at the Sherwood House Medical Practice near Bearwood and a local councillor for 20 years, she said she had intended to return to work part-time, but the present emergency had brought forward her decision. Denying her move was courageous given the risk of infection, she said, "I've been a doctor for nearly 40 years, so it's what I'm used to. So I don't think it's particularly courageous. It's what I like doing. It's been my life, and I'm quite happy to go back with the appropriate protection."
Two renewable energy firms have been brought in to help build and manage a controversial plant next to the M5. Preparations for the construction of the Kelvin Energy Recovery Facility in West Bromwich are ramping up after Sandwell Council's refusal of the scheme was overturned by an independent planning inspector in October, to the dismay of residents and politicians. Tom Watson, the former Labour deputy leader and West Bromwich MP, was amongst the most high-profile voices opposed to the energy plant. The planning inspector ruled the energy facility should go ahead as noise and traffic, which had been among key concerns, would not be greatly increased. Waste management and energy specialists Low Carbon and Wheelabrator have formed a partnership with Verus Energy to develop, construct and operate the Kelvin plant. The plant, which has been in the pipeline since 2017, will divert 395,000 tonnes of household and business waste from landfill or export and instead use it to generate up to 49.9 megawatts of renewable energy, enough to power around 70,000 homes. Work could start later this year, although there is continued uncertainty across the construction sector due to the coronavirus crisis. Here is the news for Dudley. Garden centres and plant nurseries across the West Midlands could be facing ruin as millions of pounds worth of seasonal plants could be destroyed as a result of the coronavirus lockdown. The Horticultural Trades Association has warned that up to £200 million worth of plants could end up being thrown away because they cannot be sold due to emergency restrictions. Graham Loynes, who keeps the family-run Wenlock Nurseries in Swindon, near Dudley, said he was seriously worried about whether he would be able to continue in business. He said most of his business was wholesale to garden centres, which had been forced to close. Rachel Maiden, general manager at Ashwood Nurseries at King's Wynford, said it was too early to say what the long-term effects would be, but added that it was a worrying time. David J.C. Austin, managing director of David Austin Roses in All Brighton, said it was a difficult time. As with many horticultural businesses, we've gone from welcoming visitors and preparing for our busiest time of year to closing our gardens and operating on a skeleton staff in a matter of days, he said. The Horticultural Trades Association is calling for government support of the ornamental crop sector, which grows bulbs, bedding plants, cut flowers and pot plants for garden centres, supermarkets, florists and DIY stores. The call has been backed by TV gardener Alan Titchmarsh, who warned of irreparable damage to gardens and open spaces if the sector is not supported.
Here is the news from Dudley. An emergency council scheme has been launched to deliver food and medicine to vulnerable Dudley residents. Dudley Council has redeployed staff and vehicles to the programme, which has been launched amid the coronavirus outbreak. The local authority is in the process of identifying vulnerable residents who may be suitable for the deliveries. People who are self-isolating are also eligible. It comes after neighbouring Wolverhampton Council launched a huge food hub at Aldersley Stadium. Dudley Council leader Patrick Harley said, "We are currently working in partnership with Dudley Council for Voluntary Service to coordinate food parcel distribution and delivery, getting food and medicine to vulnerable residents and those having to self-isolate. Council staff and vehicles from various departments are being redeployed to help meet the higher levels of need. We're in the process of identifying residents with existing health conditions who have been advised by the government to self-isolate so that we can communicate which services are available to them. The council is also looking for volunteers. Anyone wishing to help should visit dudleycvsreview.org.
Community groups in Dudley are being urged to apply for a share of £10 million to plant more trees in the borough. Funding has been made available by Forestry England through its Urban Tree Challenge Fund. The scheme was launched last year to plant 130,000 trees in England's urban areas through small-scale projects. Dudley North MP Marco Longhi said, "This is a really worthwhile scheme and I would encourage local groups and individuals here in Dudley North to get involved. It's been proven that planting more trees improves health and well-being, connects people with the outdoors, absorbs noise, reduces flood risk, cools temperatures through shading and creates green spaces to help communities come together." The scheme would see tree planting take place this winter. To apply, visit www.gov.uk/guidance/urban-tree-challenge-fund.
A new multi-million pound music institute in Dudley has turned blue in salute to the NHS. Resonance, based at Cable Plaza on the waterfront, joined iconic buildings across the UK in lighting up blue to show solidarity with the NHS and the courageous efforts of everyone involved in our nation's healthcare system during the coronavirus outbreak. Chris Cronin, Resonance chairman, said, "Our colleagues in the music industry are suffering massive loss of income due to the virus, but it pales in comparison to the selfless efforts being made by doctors, nurses and all other workers in the NHS. Joining in this national show of solidarity is the least we can do to demonstrate our appreciation and support for everything they do to keep us safe and well. We salute them and thank them for all they're doing." Resonance, which will welcome its first students in September 2020, is now running one-to-one virtual open days online for anyone interested in studying for a career in the music industry.
Council bosses have unveiled a raft of measures to support businesses amid the coronavirus outbreak. The measures include freezing business tax, stopping repossession powers, and making grants available to firms. Council leader Patrick Harley said it was important to support struggling businesses amid the pandemic. Under the new measures, businesses operating in the retail, leisure, and hospitality sectors, alongside nurseries, will not have to pay business tax for 12 months. Meanwhile, court actions and bailiffs have been stopped for missed payments. Elsewhere, smaller businesses will be able to apply for grants of £10,000 from Dudley Council. Medium companies working in the retail, hospitality and leisure industries can apply for grants of up to £25,000. More than 4,000 businesses in the borough are eligible. To apply, visit www.dudley.gov.uk/coronavirus-business-rates-grant.
A multi-million pound programme to refurbish 21,000 Dudley Council homes, expected to begin this summer, could be delayed because of the COVID-19 outbreak. The local authority is asking construction companies to tender for the work, which could be worth up to £28 million to the successful bidder. Councillor Laura Taylor, Dudley Council's Cabinet Member for Housing, Communities and Residents Welfare, said, "As part of the Council's commitment to invest and maintain 21,000 homes, we are in the process of appointing a range of contractors to help us deliver the necessary works. This is part of a 5-year rolling programme. The contract will include roofing works, internal refurbishments such as new bathrooms and kitchens, as well as general repairs. Construction companies are asked to bid for the lucrative contract by the April the 6th deadline, with a proposed start date of June. But because of the coronavirus outbreak, Council has said the work could be delayed. Nationally, the government is facing growing pressure to halt non-essential construction work. Last week, Health Secretary Matt Hancock said construction workers could continue to work as long as they are 2 metres apart. Councillor Taylor said the contract is expected to commence in the summer of 2020, but this could change in light of the current situation. The programme is expected to be completed by 2025.
All Gladys Stokes wanted for her 100th birthday was a visit from the ice cream man, so staff at her care home made it happen. They spent weeks creating a cardboard ice cream van and played the ice cream van music to deliver cones to the Prestwood Lodge residents on Saturday. And after an appeal on social media, Gladys Stokes also received more than 300 birthday cards, balloons and a professionally made cake. Kaylee Ashmore, Social Activities Coordinator at the Stourbridge Home, said, "For her 99th birthday, she had the ice cream man come to give her a 99, so all she wanted for her 100th was the same. Since all the restrictions, she's not been able to see her family, but we arranged a FaceTime with them on her birthday. It was her first FaceTime at the age of 100. She was so overwhelmed, she was brought to tears. People also sent her presents, balloons, poems. It was lovely, really touching. We had a party with old-fashioned games like Pass the Parcel and Party Food. It really made her day." Gladys is originally from Bilston and was one of the first female police officers during the Second World War.
Hello, here's the news from our local football clubs. Wolves have been fined nearly £9,000 by UEFA after being blamed for February's Europa League tie at Espanyol kicking off a couple of minutes late. The Barcelona-based side, meanwhile, were found guilty of insufficient segregation for the last 32-second leg at the RCDE stadium, but were only given a warning. Wolves' fine of £8,858 comes after they had previously been warned by UEFA for kicking off late against Slovan Bratislava in the group stage. Espanyol had not previously been warned about their segregation, so despite gold and black shirts being dotted around the ground, they have not been handed a fine. UEFA say the fine must be paid within 90 days of communication of this decision. Wolves lost the game 3-2 in Spain, but made it through as they won 6-3 on aggregate. Wolves have yet to confirm if they will appeal against the decision. Wolves striker Raul Jimenez has revealed he does not have a release clause in his Wolves contract. The Mexican has scored 22 goals in 44 games this season and has been linked with both Real Madrid and Manchester United. But he recently outlined his commitment to Wolves, saying, "I don't need to qualify for the Champions League to know I want to stay here." And the news of him not having a release clause is another blow to potential suitors. And Jimenez added, "I see a lot of people talking and saying that he's ready for a top six team. Right now we are in sixth place and we are not behind any of those teams. I mean, apart from Liverpool, who are way above this season, I think we are fighting as equals with everyone else. West Bromwich Albion Chief Executive Mark Jenkins has taken a 100% pay cut as he works to steer Albion through the coronavirus crisis. The CEO has reiterated that Baggies remain financially stable. But with the club having next to no income with football currently suspended, Jenkins has opted to forgo his salary while the UK remains in lockdown. Other members of Albion's senior management team have also offered to take significant reductions to their pay. Stephen Kenny has replaced former Wolves boss Mick McCarthy as Republic of Ireland manager following UEFA's announcement that the Euro 2020 qualifying playoffs would again be delayed by the coronavirus pandemic. McCarthy's contract was due to run until July the 31st, after the Euro 2020 finals were originally due to finish, with Kenny due to step up from his role with the under-21s on August the 1st. The Republic were due to face Slovakia away in the Euro 2020 qualifying playoffs. However, the fixture has been postponed for a second time due to the pandemic. McCarthy said he was in full support of the decision, saying his departure had been brought forward by global events. I said I was leaving, and that is still the case. Albeit, of course, it has been brought forward by what is happening worldwide. It is hugely disappointing not to finish the job, but I understand it as well. I think we have had a really good campaign, and the playoffs have been pushed back, and I fully understand it. Stephen is contracted to take over in August, and good luck to him. He will get the chance now to qualify.
Thanks, Ian. And now to keep you on your toes, here's a fun quiz, and with the questions, it's Mina.
Here are a few questions on some of the items coming up later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Keep listening for the answers. Question 1. Where in the United Kingdom did the Eurovision Song Contest take place in April 1974? Question 2. Who won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974? Question 3. The United Kingdom finished fourth with a song called Long Live Love. But who was the singer? Question 4. Which famous pop group broke up in April 1970? Question 5. There was a royal wedding in April 2005. Who got married? Finally, question 6. In April 1961, who became the first human in space? If you miss them, we'll let you know all the answers in our and finally section at the end of this week's edition.
Sight loss news. This week, we'll have a look at another eye condition, and this week we'll have a look at cataracts, which is a condition where your lens may become cloudy, making your vision blurred, and this can form over many years. When we're young, our lenses are usually like clear glass, so we can see through them. And as we get older, they start to become cloudy, so vision can be like looking through net curtains or frosted glass. Cataracts can affect both or one eye, and in the UK, age-related cataracts affects around half of people aged 65 and above, and can affect ability to carry out daily activities, such as driving. It can also affect children too, however, this is rare. There is only one way the condition can really be treated, and that is to replace the lens with an artificial one. The main symptoms are blurred vision, trouble coping with bright lights, difficulties seeing colour, and seeing halos around lights. For those who have cataracts, you may notice a change in your prescription for your glasses or lenses more often. The symptoms of cataracts can also develop from diabetes or glaucoma. A key message is, if you feel changes in your vision, speak to your opticians so they can examine your eyes in detail.
Thanks for that, Pete. And now moving on, here's this week's Talking Books with Steve.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Talking Books section of this week's Talking Newspaper. As promised last week, I'm going to give you a summary and a brief overview of one of my favourite Talking books. In fact, it's from a series of books which I love and have enjoyed over and over again since the day the first book arrived. And we're talking about the Harry Potter series. And this week, so I'm going to talk about, in particular, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. It's book one of J.K. Rowling's now infamous series of books about young Harry Potter, the wizard. And this particular talking book also happens to be narrated by the wonderful Stephen Fry. Now, if you haven't ever heard a talking book narrated by Stephen Fry, his voice is quite simply a match made in heaven for talking books. And again, this is a, the Stephen Fry narration of Harry Potter is again an absolute match made in heaven too. So, for those of you wondering, what is Harry Potter, the Philosopher's Stone all about? Well, Harry Potter has never even heard of Hogwarts School when the letters start dropping on the doormat at number 4 Privet Drive. Addressed in green ink on yellowish parchment with a purple seal, they're swiftly confiscated by his grisly aunt and uncle. Then, on Harry's 11th birthday, a great beetle-eyed giant of a man called Rubus Hagrid bursts in with some astonishing news. Harry Potter is a wizard, and has a place at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. An incredible adventure is about to begin. And for those of you who have not had the privilege of the Harry Potter world yet, it is indeed an incredible adventure. J.K. Rowling's writing is fantastic and renowned now as, it's been loved by all from children through to adults. And as I mentioned earlier, Stephen Fry is, the voice of all voices when it comes to talking books. For anyone interested in leaping into the world of wizardry and witchcraft, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone talking book lasts around 9.5 hours and can be sourced from a range of talking book libraries. If you would like some support and some help accessing talking books or Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or just want to know a little bit more about how to go about downloading content or receiving talking books through the post, get in touch with the team here at Beacon and we'll be happy to help.
This is our flashback section where we go back to events on This Week in History. So this week, let's go back to the 6th of April, 1974, the Eurovision Song Contest held at the Dome in Brighton. Now, the United Kingdom staged the event, even though we didn't win in the previous year. The reason being the broadcaster in Luxembourg, RTL, didn't want to host the event again because of financial reasons, so the BBC stepped in. The event proved to be one of the most memorable song contests of all time. In 1974, it saw the first participation of Greece, who sent their national star Marinella. Now, that wasn't what it was famous for. The voting system changed, where 10 jury members in every country each awarded 1 point for their favourite song. But it wasn't famous for that either. The United Kingdom came fourth with Olivia Newton-John singing Long Live Love. No, not that either. Netherlands third, Italy second. But what it was famous for were the winners. Sweden won the song contest for the first time with Waterloo performed by ABBA. The song became a huge international hit and the rest is history. ABBA led from the start of voting and scored Sweden's first victory in the Eurovision Song Contest. Notably, the UK failed to award Sweden any points at all. We obviously thought they'd never catch on. ABBA tried to enter the 1973 Eurovision Song Contest with the song Ring Ring, but they only reached third place in the Swedish national selection. In 1974, they chose Waterloo ahead of their other option, Hastamaniana. Katie Ball presented the contest for the fourth and final time. But the night belonged to ABBA, and we've been enjoying their songs, would you believe, for the last 46 years. Also on This Week in History, let's go back to April the 6th, 1896, when the first modern Olympic Games were opened in Athens. In 1969, on April the 7th, the internet was born. The Advanced Research Project Agency awarded a contract to build what was a precursor of today's World Wide Web to BBN Technologies. And this date is widely considered as the internet's birth. That's the 7th of April, 1969. Also on the 7th of April, in 1948, the World Health Organization was established. On April the 9th, in 2005, Prince Charles married Camilla Parker Bowles. On April the 9th, in 1992, John Major was elected Prime Minister as the Conservatives won the general election. And also on April the 9th, in 1860, the world's first recording of the human voice was created by French inventor Edouard Léon Scott de Martinville, and he recorded his own voice singing. On April the 10th, in 1998, the Good Friday Agreement was signed as negotiators in Northern Ireland reached the historic peace deal. And in 1970, the Beatles broke up as Paul McCartney left the band, making an announcement a week before the release of his debut solo album. On April the 11th, in 1972, the first episode of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue was aired, the BBC's classic comedy show, chaired by Humphrey Lyttelton. And also on April the 11th in 1961, the trial of Adolf Eichmann began. On April the 12th in 1981, the American space shuttle blasted off into space for the first time. Two astronauts took off for Space Shuttle Columbia's first orbital test flight. And finally, in 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human in space. The Soviet cosmonaut orbited the Earth aboard Vostok 3KA spacecraft.
Thanks for that, Pete. And now let's see what the weather has in store for us over the Easter bank holiday and for next week. And with that, it's Mina.
Here are the sunrise, sunset times and weather report for the coming week. Sunrise, 6:30 a.m. Sunset, 19:53 p.m. Weather report. Friday, 10th of April. Light rain, showers and a gentle breeze with maximum temperature of 17 degrees. Saturday, 11th of April. Light cloud and gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. Sunday, 12th of April. Light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. Monday, 13th of April. Light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees. Tuesday, 14th of April. Sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. Wednesday, 15th of April. Sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. Thursday, 16th of April. Sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees.
And finally, on this week's Black Country Talking News, the answers to our quiz set a little bit earlier on. Question one was, where in the United Kingdom did the Eurovision Song Contest take place? The answer, that was in 1974. The answer was the Dome in Brighton. Who won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974? That was question two. The answer was Sweden, with ABBA singing Waterloo. Question three. The United Kingdom finished fourth with a song called Long Live Love, but who was the singer? The answer was Olivia Newton-John. Question four. Which famous pop group broke up in April 1970? The answer was The Beatles. Question five. There was a royal wedding in April 2005, but who got married? It was Charles and Camilla. And finally, question 6, in April 1961, who became the first human in space? It was the Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin. Now, if you're living with sight loss and have your own sight loss tips to share with others, or you have something you'd like to hear on the Talking News, it might be something as even simple as a joke that you wanted, this week's joke of the week, or it might be a brain teaser, or anything you'd like to see featured or you'd like to contribute to, well, please get in touch. Our details will follow. We'd love to hear from you. To also let you know that the Black Country Talking News is now available on your mobile through the British Wireless for the Blind's mobile app. So you can listen to it on your mobile now. The impact of coronavirus is having a devastating impact on us as a charity here at Beacon, with fundraising activities being postponed and our charity shops closed and others' income streams affected. So if you are able to fundraise for Beacon, please stay on or visit our website at beaconvision.org for ways you can help. Thank you.
So that's it for another edition of Black Country Talking News. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so by calling us on 01902 880111, emailing us at bctn@beaconvision.org, or send a letter to Black Country Talking News, Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. Thank you for listening to Black Country Talking News and to all our supporters, donators and volunteers. Without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. So it's goodbye from all of us. And please note, the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News. Mentions of goods or services does not imply endorsement. And whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors.